Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 60.
Forgive me, Miss Devon, I must be brief. You met Colonel Arbuthnot and fell in love with each other in Baghdad. Why must the English conceal even their most impeccable emotions?
To answer your observations in order, of course. Yes. Yes. And I don't know.
Then let me tell you what you do know. That on the Bosphorus ferry boat, I overheard a part of your conversation with the Colonel.
Not now. Not now. When it's all over, when it's behind us, then.
When what was all over, Miss Debenham? And when what was behind you? Was it some task that had to be performed? Some ordeal that had to be endured? Some dark deed that had to be dispatched?
Mr. Poirot, I'm not at liberty to answer any of those questions.
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. I gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by a strange delight. On the lilac tree, I made one from lilac tree. Put my heart in its recipe. Makes me see what I want to see, be what I want to be.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me I have my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zelag.
Hello, Governor.
In this episode, we are beginning our look at murder mysteries with a discussion on the films Murder on the Orient Express and Tell No One. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. Mrs. Zelag, what do you have drink-wise for me?
Well, I got one of those Coors Light summer drinks. Did you see those?
Oh, I have seen those, yes. I've actually heard good things about them.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Because I really like that Leinenkugel Summer Shandy.
Yes.
And so it tastes like that, only with more orange in it.
Mm.
So it's like, remember like for Husker tailgates when I have orange Coors Lights?
Sure.
It's like they mixed it for me.
They said, hey, we've heard on this podcast.
I think that's on the label somewhere. It's like specifically for Lady Zelag.
That'd be good. I am going with a brewing company that we have both talked about on this podcast. It is local here in Lincoln. It is the Zipline Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
And I am having their Country White. And was that a beer that you had when we got some? Okay. Then they did come out with that in six packs now.
Really?
So I picked some of those up at the local grocery store. And you should be advised that there'll be a lot of grapefruit vodkas coming up, because I got one of those buy two, get a $15 rebate kind of deals.
Oh, shit.
So I got a couple of 175s just staring at me in the face, so we'll...
What kind is it, Big Red Vodka?
It's Pinnacle.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Big Red Vodka?
No, not to my knowledge. Maybe some late night I did.
Maybe out of a trash can.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise anyone drinking it.
Yeah, but in college you made that Husker Punch in a trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's it's sometimes at stores on the very bottom shelf.
Yeah, buried in the back. Like, I guess if you want it.
I mean, if you have $3 to scrape together.
Yeah, it's like, look, if this dude's only got $3, I'm going to make him work for it.
So. Hope you like going blind, buddy.
It's a little smoother. It's distilled like one more time than moonshine.
Right. That's why it's Big Red Vodka.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and begin our discussion of murder mysteries. And we're going to start with the 1974 film Murder on the Orient Express.
This is no ordinary train. This is the legendary Orient Express, witness to many strange adventures and foreign intrigues. From Istanbul to Calais, this is no ordinary passenger.
Monsieur Poirot is a detective.
This is the world's most celebrated crime fighter.
I take a professional interest in crime.
Agatha Christie's brilliant Belgian detective.
Belgians? I always thought you were French.
Albert Finney is Detective Hercule Poirot. This is no ordinary mystery.
Can't touch nothing.
This is Agatha Christie's most perfect crime. Murder on the Orient Express. Starring the greatest cast of suspicious characters ever involved in murder.
The murderer is with us now.
You can identify the murderer?
Lauren Bacall.
I mean nothing of the kind. I mean there was a man in my compartment last night.
Monsieur.
Martin Balsam.
She did it.
Thou shall not kill.
Ingrid Bergman. Jacqueline Bisset.
He makes it sound like a poison.
Jean-Pierre Cassel.
Monsieur Hercule Poirot.
Sean Connery.
How did you know?
Beddoes.
John Gielgud.
Mr. Beddoes.
He did it. The butler did it.
Wendy Hiller.
You never smile, Madame de Princes.
My doctor has advised against it.
Anthony Perkins.
It seems like I'm kind of incriminating myself.
Vanessa Redgrave.
Not now. Not now. When it's all over, when it's behind us.
Rachel Roberts.
And I...
Richard Widmark.
Show you this.
Michael York.
He did it.
The who's who in the whodunit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now come to my own reconstruction of the night of the murder.
Murder on the Orient Express.
The Belgian detective Hercule, I don't know how to say his name, Hercule Poirot.
Didn't take French or Belgian or whatever the fuck this was.
Fuck it is, right. One of the it's not American, that's for sure.
It ain't American, I'll tell you.
One of the passengers requests his protection, but Poirot declines. The next day, the passenger is found dead in his compartment, and Poirot is asked to solve the case. The train is forced to stop due to a snowdrift blocking the tracks. This gives him a few hours to figure out the murderer's identity before the local police take over the investigation. During his investigation, Poirot discovers that many of the passengers have some connection to a 5-year-old case where an infant was kidnapped and murdered, in which the mastermind escaped prosecution. This led to the death during childbirth of the mother and the suicide of her father. Could this be the vital clue to crack the case? This could be, but can he do it in time? Whatevs. That was pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. This was your selection.
Right.
This was a film that, you know, it's a Sidney Lumet film. It is an Agatha Christie novel that it's based on.
Right.
This is a, you know, it has a good cast led by Sean Connery, at least, for, you know, who's the most famous, I guess. It also has Albert Finney playing Poirot, who is the old man in Big Fish.
Right.
So this was your selection. So was this one that you were familiar with? Was this one where you looked up like best murder mysteries and this was one that came up, or what was the, what's kind of your history with this one?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I had read the book and I'm kind of a fan of Agatha Christie and I like her just in general. And so then this popped up in the list and I was like, oh, okay, let's just, you know, throw it on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I usually make decisions.
Oh, okay.
All right, whatever.
Google says it's good, so.
Internets, so.
This was all brand new to me. I mean, I was aware of the film. I've heard of it before.
You were in the ride at World of Fun?
I know I was not.
Oh.
But I was just kind of like aware of the film just generally, I guess. But, you know, I didn't know anything specific about the plot, really.
Okay.
I did think that when you're introduced to all of the characters and we have our detective, I kind of looked at him as a joke at first.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. Like, he doesn't take himself too seriously. And the whole thing isn't, I mean, obviously it's a murder mystery, but it's almost like I don't want to use the word fun because that's weird, but like, it's not like one that's like, for example, the one that we're talking about next.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, there's not, I don't know.
It's not like this ultra conspiracy. Everything is super serious and
yeah,
dialogue, like every bit of dialogue is like, no, you know, yeah. It's just a lot more fun than, it's a lot more whimsical than that, I guess.
There you go. That's a good word for it. And he kind of reminds me of like Columbo, where he acts like sometimes he doesn't know what he's talking about to get information that he wouldn't normally get.
Mm.
And so like, I feel like he doesn't take himself, because like I've read a couple of his, she does like a series on him.
Right. Yeah.
And so like, I've read a couple of them and that's kind of how he goes about his like investigating, is like pretend, you know, he's not like, I'm cutthroat, I need answer. Like, and there was a scene in here where he was yelling, but like, you know, that's how he does stuff. Like, what about this? And then, you know, he notices little details about things. And so like, I don't know.
He's almost like a personality chameleon.
Yeah.
Where he can talk down to the people that may not be ultra intellectual, but then he knows how to talk to the aristocracy or, you know, the very well educated also.
Right.
So he just kind of knows how to play each person.
Yeah.
So it is always interesting to see, you know, the smartest guy in the room be your main character and to follow a mystery where the audience doesn't know what's happening. And that's, you know, and that's why I was glad that these two ended up getting paired together is it's not a mystery for just the characters on screen. It's a mystery for the audience as well.
Right. Which is my favorite kind.
Sure. To where you're trying to figure it out alongside of them.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess getting into a few of the notes, I really liked how they introduced the characters getting onto the train.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, your separate introduction for each person. You got to see a little bit of their character just by the way that they walked to the train, and the way that they were introduced and the way that they, you know, interacted with the train person.
Right.
Or the fuck his name would be. You know, the train guy.
Guy, the yeller man.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. And then for a while, it kind of lost my interest. Like when we were after the introduction, I found it to be fairly dry and sort of, like I felt removed from the film. Like it felt very sterile to me.
Yeah. Like you said, we had the train intro, which was like Titanic kind of, everybody's hopping on and getting all excited. And then, you know, You're right. I mean, there's a lot of talking, which like is usually okay, but maybe it was the mood I was in, or maybe you're right, it was the film's fault, but I was like, okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's kind of the exact way that I felt. I was watching it going, yeah, all right.
So like someone's dying soon, right?
I was like, all right. And I don't know that it was, I mean, because it is a very British film.
Yeah.
You know, it just has that kind of like, you know.
The whole thing is like rich people problems.
Yeah, it's like, tally-ho, you know, just like, you know, I did like, we can get into the actors in a little bit, but I did really like Anthony Perkins, who I don't know outside of Psycho.
Who is that one?
But he was playing the first one that gets introduced. He plays he plays McQueen.
Oh, Jimmy Stewart, basically.
Yeah, Anthony Perkins Jimmy Stewart via Anthony Perkins, yeah.
Oh, no, you're not gonna like, and he was like stuttering just like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. It's a little after the Jimmy Stewart. I mean, it's early 70s.
Sure.
But it's set in the 30s, so, but yeah, he does have that, wow. So, but I did like that. I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, I do like the sort of films where, or plays, I guess, where it's people are locked in a room.
Yep.
Or locked in a spot and go. And that's kind of it. You know, and that's the setup. It's like, you know, it's to a degree what I find interesting, structurally, or, you know, minus all the gore of Saw.
Yeah.
You know, where these people are in a room and someone's talking to you and get out. Or there's like a film called Exam, which I believe is streaming on Netflix. And it is, it's like six or seven people that are applying for one of the best jobs in the U.S., but they don't know what the job is, but they all had to work really hard to get this interview. And then it says, there's one question, and when you answer the question, the interview's over, and they're all in the same room together. And it says, do you have any questions? And they all look around, and they go look at the piece of paper and where the question is, and they turn the piece of paper over, and it's blank. And so then they have to figure out what they're doing there and who, like, everyone has, you know, very heightened personalities. And
sure.
And you kind of go throughout the film to try to figure out what this is, what kind of an exam it is, what, you know, what's the question, all that stuff. So it's that's an interesting movie that I think that the premise is a little better than the actual film.
Was the best job in the world beer tester?
I mean, it's a film that, well, spoilers if you're not going to see this, but it's that Exam film, the question is, what is the question? Like, that's what they're supposed to ask.
And the question, do you have any questions?
Yeah, or do you have any, like, the same sort of thing. And they go to where they're, like, killing each other, and
what?
It's like a, you know, it's one of those kind of movies where everyone's, like, ultra male and ultra female and all that stuff.
Right.
Or no one's like, whoa, like, how about you chill out? It's like, oh, fuck you! You know, it's one of those kind of things.
So somebody said something about Tobey Maguire.
Something like that, yeah. People don't know that yet. They won't know that joke till next week.
You do it, though. That's
a little funny preview.
And that's funny enough for me.
Yeah.
Like, the movie it reminds me of is not people trapped in a room with tests trying to stab each other. It's more like Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, really? Okay.
Everyone's in the same place.
The newer one or the original?
Well, the book. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
But, like, everyone's on the island and the bridge washes out. So right. It can only be whoever's on there. That's my favorite, where you're, like, trying to, like, deduct. Anyway.
Sure.
Moving on.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. Okay, so once we, you know, once the character that kicks it finally does die, and Poirot is starting his investigation, you know, I do like the sort of Sherlock Holmes of it all.
Sure. Well, the thing that brought me back was the mustache guard. I was like, what?
I saw that and I was like, what the hell is that thing on his face? And I was like, oh, it's a mustache thing.
I really hope that's a thing in real life.
Oh my God, that would be
tremendous. Sorry, go on.
That's embarrassingly bad. Like, I really didn't like his mustache. I was like, oh, come on.
It's beautiful.
Ugh, yuck.
He looks like he's on Tappers from Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, he does. So anyway, I like the format of the film. I like how when he's investigating, finally, he, you know, walks into the room and he's starting to walk you through it, like walk you through what you didn't see.
Then and, it picks up, right?
Yeah. And he says, you know, there's too many clues in this room. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean?
Smarter than you.
Yeah. Well, clearly. And so he goes through all of the different clues and talks about how the guy was stabbed 12 times and it could be this or it could be this. And then he spends probably the last, third of the movie just interviewing.
Yeah.
Interviewing different people. And that's what I liked the most out of it, was just allowing these two actors to sit and act.
Yeah.
For the most part. It was, you know, we're going to have Albert Finney and a whole host of well-known actors. You know, like I already said, Sean Connery, but we also have like Lauren Bacall and Ingrid Bergman and,
yes.
And, you know, Vanessa Redgrave. And so people that are, you know, well-known and famous Hollywood actors. So.
Lauren Bacall is like one of my favorites.
You like a little Lauren Bacall?
She's sassy pants.
Sexy lady.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Was. Right.
Yeah, probably not is.
I'm not going to figure it out, so.
I do really like that. I like, you know, I also obviously like how this, essentially, it could be a play.
Right. Well, it was a book.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that really separates it from being too cinematic, except for getting to really see all of the clues.
Right, yeah. Also the train moving.
Yeah, but, I mean, the train, it gets stuck, and then they have the
big
bulldozer train.
And that can just be somebody from offstage. We move the train!
Yeah, hey! The conductor just going, right. Oh, it's going again.
Well, not the conductor.
Whatever. The whatever. So I don't know. What else did you have to say about this one? I've just got a few more things, really, and that's about all.
Like you said, it did lose me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Right at the beginning there, after the whole swept upness of everyone getting on the train. But I really liked, I mean, I like the character of Albert Finney. I mean, I think he did that really well. And I just like the plot of the story. So I was like willing, if it was something that lost my interest early on and I was already dead set on hating it, I probably would have like, stopped, you know what I mean? I probably wouldn't have given it as much of a chance as if I had known that it was going to end up well.
sure. Yeah, well, you did have the advantage of knowing how it ended.
Right.
You know. So let me ask you this. Like, did it, I'm assuming the book ends the same way, right?
Not quite.
Oh, okay. So I guess, spoiler, I mean, people should know this is a spoiler show, but so the way that the movie ends is, you know, they're investigating who killed this guy, and it turns out that there's one of two possible ways. Either it's this guy who was in, like, kind of like a gang fight thing, or it was all of them.
Right. And I love the end scene where he gets them all together.
Yes.
And he's like, so I came up with my conclusion.
Yeah.
I fucked around with people and pointed out, like, a couple. Like, not said anything, just kind of eyeball pointed.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do like that, he says, he doesn't say, here's who did what. It's just like, here's what I came up with.
Y'all stabbed him.
You think this is what we want to go with? Or, no, let's go with option one. All right, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I like that part. He's like, I mean, I came up with two options. And so, like, maybe we can all as a group decide what option you guys think. Was it this, or did you guys all kill?
Yeah, and he's kind of a shit because it's like, hey, do you want to just kind of get away with it because he was kind of behind this killing and kidnapping? Do you think that maybe we should just ignore that and save me the paperwork, or... Because he's already dead, so he's not going to get more dead.
And he's already a shitbag, so he's not going to be even more of a shitbag.
Yeah, so I just kind of like that, you know, I feel like normally it would be, oh, well, I'm going to take them all in, and they all, need to fess up for what they've done and serve their time and der.
Yeah.
But here it's like, you know what? Fuck this guy. You all killed him. I know that you did. that's cool. Just go back to doing whatever you're doing.
Maybe we'll get some champagne out. I mean,
yeah.
Free, so.
I think I'm also, by the way, someone took my mustache guard, so.
And that's why you're actually all here.
Yeah, I'll be needing that back pronto.
Don't give a shit about the dead guy.
Then you
that
see.
Was expensive.
You see Connery, like, duck his head and raise up. I knew it.
Giant mustache.
So, yeah, so that's Murder on the Orient Express. Did you have anything else that we breezed over or anything?
No, I thought it was a nice little movie, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I was like, all right, well, that was fine.
Yeah.
That was a good way to spend, you know, an hour and a half or whatever it was.
Right.
I think that if I know of someone that's into, you know, mysteries or British films or something like that, or that sort of style, I'd be like, hey, check this out. I don't know that, like, Anel didn't watch it, and I don't know that I would encourage her to watch it, because she'd be like, what is...
She stabbed people before?
Well, it hits a little too close to home.
Right.
She stabs people 12 times.
Right.
So, she's like, hey, that's my M.O.
So. Yeah. Well, and like, yeah, I mean, I just like the plot. Agatha Christie has a lot of fun ways to kill people. I know that's weird to say, but it's true. And so I just kind of liked how that all wrapped up. So
yeah, when this was getting a little dry, I was looking up a little bit of info on her.
Yeah.
And I did think it was funny that much like with Sherlock Holmes, she was getting tired of Poirot.
Yeah.
And was tired of writing him and, you know, found him to be off-putting and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I can see that. Like, you live with someone, a character in your head for so long, and after a while you're just kind of like, all right, let's just put you to bed. Like, I've had enough.
Right, and why shouldn't you be able to?
Yeah. You know, that's why, even though, you know, they could unload just several trucks of $100 bills, that's why I appreciate that J.K. Rowling isn't doing more Harry Potter proper books. You know?
Yeah.
She can do all the side stuff all she wants, but you don't have to fuck with that.
Right. She wrapped it up. She knows.
Yeah. She knows.
She knows.
Okay, well, let's move on to our next film. A few years in the future. This is 2006, and it is Tell No One.
Your precious blood that means more to me than any love could ever be.
Pediatrician Alexandre.
Yeah, Alexander.
I said it right.
It's just written French.
Beck. I know that one. Misses his beloved wife, Margot Beck, who was brutally murdered 8 years ago when he was the prime suspect. When two bodies are found near where the corpse of Margot was dumped, the police reopen the case and Alex becomes suspect again. The mystery increases when Alex receives an email showing Margot older and alive.
Dun, dun, dun. So this was my pick. This was a film I watched a few years ago, and I it must have been recommended to me from a podcast I listened to or something, because I wouldn't have thought to look up a 2006 French mystery film just on my own. Like, you know, I may be on the pompous side, but not quite.
You might be on the grapefruit side, but...
That's right.
I just really like French films.
I just like baguettes. Whatever.
Oh, that could go so many ways.
Yes. So like I said, this is my pick. So that's the kind of history that I had with it. I'd seen it before, probably in like 2011. I think it may have even been part of the marathon. So I knew that I enjoyed it, but I also knew that there were some parts that I didn't fully have my mind wrapped around yet.
Okay.
And so when we talked about it, and so then when I was thinking about what movie to pick, I was like, oh, well, I'll take another look at this and see if it makes a little bit more sense to me or if it's still a little on the convoluted side. So I'm assuming this is a first watch for you.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of this one, Cruz?
It definitely had my attention. It wasn't I didn't almost fall asleep in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was very, it kept me wanting to watch it, although I did have to do reading, which is, you know, anyway.
Yeah. What a burden for the two English majors to have to read.
Well, it's hard to take notes.
Yeah. It's hard to take notes, read, and look at performance at
and
the same
drink.
Time.
And drink. At the same time.
Yes.
my first like five notes are all questions because like I just instantly just start, you know, going crazy.
Sure.
Why is there an American song in a French movie?
That, I definitely had that note later with the U2 song.
Right. I mean, almost all the songs are in, but that's fine. I mean, we have obviously the best music, so it's fine. I said at least they drive on the correct side of the road.
Mm.
And then I thought for a brief moment that it was going to be like a Jaws French movie and like, oh, it's a mystery because like they're, I don't understand why. We'll get into that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that what I really liked about the beginning is, you know, when I had first watched this, I had no, you know, the only thing I knew about it was that a guy is suspected of killing his wife. He's found innocent. And then I think I thought it was 5 years later, but years later he gets eight years later he gets an email from her saying that she's alive or something like that.
Or someone.
Is what I remembered from watching it. And I just think that that's a really interesting premise to where you're accused of doing something.
I mean, if somebody pitched that to me, I'd be like, load up the DVD. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Rat meow. So I think that that's good. I like the hook of it. I think that the beginning where not, where French Dustin Hoffman and his wife.
Oh my God. I legitimately wrote that in capital letters.
Oh, of course you did. He looks just like a French Dustin Hoffman.
I think it is his like French cousin.
It's his friend. It's like his doppelganger.
It's actually Dustin Hoffman.
Hoffman. So he, I like how they are at the beginning because they are, they're in love and they're together, but they're still pretty sexy about it. You know?
I mean, like super naked sexy.
Yeah, I was watching that and I went, whoa, what?
I know. Well, they're
especially
fine.
When you swing and meet later. I was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, I saw that too. Oh, man, would you like some sausage with your egg? But then I thought, you know, they're French, so don't they always just get naked?
Yeah, they're just like, fuck it. Well, they're not worried about it because they're on the deck right after they were skinny dipping.
Right. Well, they're supposedly out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
With just each other, but I would still be like, big brothers everywhere.
Yeah, and so apparently the French will kick your ass because there's a lot of ass kicking going on.
Yeah.
And there's one scene towards the end of the film that's particularly rough when someone's getting beat up. And I was like, oh God.
Yes. You know? That was unfortunate.
Oof. And so we have this opening and they're in love and, you know, it's kind of that to where this is what I like about films, foreign films and the sensibility is I feel like if this was a Hollywood film, we would have spent maybe 5-10 minutes more with them being together at the beginning.
How much they're in love.
Yeah, and we would have had really, like, we would have had another sweet song, and it would have been a lot of, like, hugs.
There's slow dancing.
Yeah, it would have been a little too much.
Talked about how great of a guy he is.
Right. And, you know, you would have got to meet, like, the parents then.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Something. That are so happy everyone's together.
Blah, yeah, blah, blah. So they would have really drilled it into, I feel like. And here it's just kind of like, look, they're in love, they are naked and probably bone a lot, and the end, because they're French. So, and then we have this sort of like thing where he gets out after swinging the meat, like we said, and
you said
yes, I'll continue to say, and so we hear a struggle, and then we see him get his ass kicked and fall in the water, and then it's 8 years later,
right.
And you're like, whoa, what the fuck's going on?
And that's when I thought, shark people.
Yeah. And I liked how he's not, like, ultra sad. He's not...
Right. Well, I mean, he's still a doctor, so it's not like he's poor and his wife died.
Sure. He's not, you know, miserable and going, oh, God, I just can't get over it. He's, you know, mourning his wife, but he's still a normal guy for the most part.
And then there's that part, you know, where he's talking to his sister's wife.
Yeah, his lesbian sister's wife.
Okay. And she is not French.
No.
Right? She's the The Horse Whisperer? Wasn't she in that?
I don't know.
All I remember when I saw her for the first time is, this bitch is not French. Like you can't be in a French... Like,
oh, you mean Kristen Stark. Kristen Scott Thomas.
Scott Thomas, yes. Yeah. Like she's not allowed to be in a French movie. Like, Americans haven't faked accents for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I was like,
anyway.
What? You are American. What are you doing here?
Right?
Yeah.
And now I even forgot what I was saying.
Fucking America trying to take over everything.
Oh, when she's talking to him at her restaurant, apparently, and she's telling him that he needs to calm down because he's going to his wife's parents' house to celebrate.
Yeah, to mourn the anniversary of...
For 8 years. And I was like on both sides in that scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, dude, it's fucking been 8 years. But at the same time, I'm like, I've never been in that situation. And I, like, at that point, I just, like, let people do what they need to do.
Sure.
Like, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting dynamic. I also like that moment where she's checking out her coworker or her employee, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's checking her out, and I'm like, well, that's an interesting... Like, I wonder why they're doing that. So it's just kind of... there's enough in there that sort of throws you off balance a little bit.
Yeah. Well, she... I mean, like, she was shady to me to the point where I thought that she was naughty.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, even the... you know, you have a pretty good idea that the husband probably didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, because you see him get his ass kicked, but you're like, well, then the police start, you know, having some fairly decent points with, well, you know, he had to make it look real, blah, blah, blah. Well,
they find the gun, like...
Yeah, they find the gun in his apartment.
And for about 5 minutes, I thought he might have been schizophrenic or something. And
sure.
When he kicked his ass, he was, like, fight-clubbing himself.
Right. Or he just said, hey, bro, just hit me with this bat and I'll pass out and then just pull me out.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, like I said, it did keep my interest, because I was never like, oh my god, you know, like, oh, I know what happens.
Yeah, so, I thought...
I try to do to Brad when we're watching movies.
I did think that, you know, he gets this email while he's in the middle of helping Bruno's child.
Right, and I had no idea that there was a French Jersey Shore.
Bruno, yes. That's definitely what it looks like. You know, this is 06, so it's like... What influences what, huh?
Right? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I remember when any of that shit came out, but go on.
But I like that he gets the email and it doesn't, you know, it's not a full screen image of the email coming in.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just like, yeah, there it is. He's in the middle of something and he later gets to it.
Yeah, which is not how I would handle things like that. But...
Well, but he doesn't notice it quite yet.
Okay.
You know, and once he finally notices it, he's like, what the fuck is this? You know, because it has his initials and the slashes for each year that they were married.
Yeah, but, like, even then I would be like, because the link, right, the first time he gets it, the link doesn't open, is that right?
The link doesn't open, and then when it does open, it's a picture, it's her, the video of her.
Right, but, like, the first time in his office, the link doesn't open, like, when he's in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shoot, the link doesn't open. And I would be like, what does this mean? And fuck computers! And my mouse would have probably been thrown across the room.
Yeah, it would have, Big Brother! This is a scam! I'm not sending money anywhere. it would have been like that. So, you know, soon after we have him and at the celebration, or at the morning.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my god, what a fucking awkward tradition.
I know!
How terrible. Like, I understand what they're doing and why they're needing to do it, but...
Like, just the way they're doing it. Like, if you're going... I mean, and like I said, I have no idea how people cope. Like, it's just people cope in entirely different ways. But, like, I would think more of, like, a bunch of people celebrating her life than awkward dinner with her parents.
Just the three of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what I would... Like, I would very much, I presume... in the same circumstance, be like, look, just everyone leave me the fuck alone today. You know, maybe I'll give the parents a ring.
No, I'm pretty sure that like 9 in the morning, I would be tip top on the front of the captain's ship.
I would be, yes, I would just be locking everything, turning shit off.
Probably in a basement room somewhere, like throwing notebooks around just and
playing ping pong by yourself.
Screaming. Yep.
That's what you'd be
doing. Because that's how I deal with things.
Yeah. I would just write some very similar story to what's happening.
Right, and then rip it up and cry. And I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I'd make it indifferent. So, yeah. So I think that that's, you know, another interesting bit, but is a little tough to watch for me. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, God, this is making me squirm a little bit. You know, and then we kind of move on and things start getting a, well, suffice to say, a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
Because we have, you know, we have this, this, oh, what did I call her? Oh, the ugliest woman who ever lived.
Oh my God. The five finger death punch lady.
Yeah. The, I will grab your spleen or.
Is that something? What she's grabbing?
I have no idea.
Oh my God. I thought she had like, I thought it was like X-Men where she had like claw fingers. She was like Wolverining them because that's the only way I feel like that would hurt.
Well, she grabbed the one lady's like sternum.
Yeah, that photographer. Probably but she was in like horrible pain. Like, yeah. I don't want to try it. I don't want anyone to ever try that.
Yeah, that was the one part where I was like, oh, I don't know about this. When,
yeah.
When she does that and then like drags her by her hair.
Right.
And she's still like, oh, like just making weird sounds and not really fighting back. And
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. I was like, oh, okay, they couldn't have gotten like Jason Statham to come here and punch her in the mouth or something.
Yeah, how come Bourne couldn't come take care of this shit?
He was busy.
So, but you know, by this point, he has opened that video and he's seen this image of his wife and it's a video. And
what would you do in that situation?
I would lose my shit and I would call everyone I knew.
I would too. He is like so level-headed. Like he must have called Dustin Hoffman and he told him to be cool about it. Cause I would have been like instant scream of what the fuck, first of all.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he's angry at her because like I would instantly be like, what the fuck did Brad do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I definitely think there was some kind of bullshit that was someone who's fucking with me.
Or I thought she got kidnapped. I mean, obviously she did ish, but
yeah, and that whole stuff. I'm like, wait, what? Because if it was just emails, I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. It's someone just fucking with him, and it's gonna go somewhere completely different. But when it's actually the wife and she's there and, you know, she's not saying anything.
Right. She's just looking at like a subway camera.
Like a security camera type thing. I was like, wow, that fucking kind of creeps me out. Like, what the hell? Yeah.
And I like how it was like that. It wasn't like a video of her like talking even.
Mm-hmm.
It just adds to like the what the hellness where like she can't say anything to you. She's not like, hi, and she doesn't wave or anything, and you can't tell if she's happy or not.
Yes, yes.
And so you're like, any possible scenario could be running through your head at that point. So, like, mm-hmm. I think they did a good job of leaving it ambiguous even then mm-hmm. to, like, what happened.
Right, yeah. And, you know, we have, we start to get to know some of the people around him to where he's got, you know, her, the kidnapped or the presumed dead wife, her dad is in the police. We have his sister who's like rides horses.
Right. And just is hot in general.
Yeah. And it's just like, hey, I'm hot. What's up? And, you know, they're lesbians with Kristen Scott Thomas. Just
weird to me. Like he is like way better friends with his wife's or his sister's wife than his sister. It feels like.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he goes to her and tells her only mm-hmm. about all these secrets, blah, blah, blah. And then the wife gets mad when the sister confesses what she does.
Right.
Like, y'all been keeping secrets from everybody.
Yeah, there's secrets all over the place. There's, then we get a lawyer who looks sort of similar to Kristen Scott Thomas.
Right? That confused me a
little. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on now? We have, you know, he starts getting some police officers chasing him, and then we, like we said, we get the Five Fingers of Doom girl.
Yeah, and is it just this director, or do French people in general not like the police? Because, wow.
Yeah, the police are not viewed as super positive in this.
No, not at all.
And everyone's kind of like, fuck the police.
And the police are kind of like, fuck everybody.
Yeah. It's really a pretty distinct line.
Yeah.
There's no like cop buddies really in this. But yeah, one of the things that I marked here in this middle section is kind of murky because you're having a lot of like, well, what does this mean? What's happening here? What's this all about?
And the part that I didn't get, like when he goes to that guy in her date book.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I was like really confused, but it did come like it came full circle at the end. I figured that part out, but like
the guy that she was sleeping with,
banging, yeah,
yeah, and that was what was weird too. Is okay, so they have the nakedness and the presumed banging and all that stuff, and the male nudity, and that actually doesn't, you know,
presumed banging,
yeah, the presumed banging, and you know, all of that stuff is fine, and then when the thing that I was really off put by is when he finds the lover, and he's outside and they're all about to fight and all that, and he's got Bruno and the huge black guy that's his bodyguard type person.
Awesome.
And Robin. Yeah, they're all ready to throw hands, and then the lover says, you know, that she's a slut and all this, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, they're just calling names, and he's like, she liked it when I spit in her mouth, and I was like, oh, gross. I was like so completely off put by that, and I was like, ugh, yuck. I don't know why that was, but I was just like, oh, fuck, I don't like that at all.
That is super unsanitary. You guys have your fist fight in the dirt, but spitting in mouths is super.
Yeah, the kissing and the fucking, that's all right, but spitting in the mouth, no thanks. So, I don't know. I just was like, I remembered recoiling during that. I was like, oh, no.
Well, and didn't it end up that, like, he would not know that anyway?
Yeah.
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 Weird. That was a weird situation.
That is strange. So, you know, then we have these pictures of the wife, and she's all beat to shit.
Right.
And then we think that, you know, that's when I was like, wait, did the husband actually do this then?
See, and that's when I thought he was schizo, too, a little bit.
Yeah, and so then he's you know, told to go to certain places at certain times and enter in these clues, and that'll help him get the next clue, and then that's when we have he goes to like the internet cafe with his huge dog.
Yeah,
and
everyone has.
Yeah, and we hear the U2 song.
And that's I wrote, this is the most I've ever cared about this song.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, what the fuck is going on? Was kind of what I was at in that moment. Like, I get that he's figured something.
Like, you have to know that that's like actually from his wife or someone who's like at least communicating with her.
Yeah.
And so that boy, but like, I mean, there's just so many emotions here, because like you find out supposedly that the wife had been cheating on him, and then she's like hiding whatever the bruises are for, and you're like, what has this slut been up to?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, he really wants to find her, but like sometimes during this whole thing, I'm like, is this gonna be fucking worth it? This like ridiculous, you know, like she, during the chase for her, she becomes painted in a not very good.
Oh yeah. I definitely love that she specifically is a little bit gray of a character.
Yeah.
Like, God, is she worth all this trouble? And
right, exactly what I was thinking. And, like, I obviously understand, like, if he had a chance to find her, he would. But, like, I was thinking to myself, like, ooh, Jesus, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, so I started thinking, like, okay, so say this guy isn't behind all this. Say this husband didn't do any of this. What is the motivation to fuck with him like this so much?
Right.
Is what I started thinking.
Like, old boy.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you're thinking, oh, fuck. It's
I was like, is this French old boy?
The interpretation. That's like,
you're like, you make it your life goal to like go through every country and find the like version of old boy.
Yeah, I just type in, I type in Italian old boy. Comes in and I'm like, hey, we should watch this. We should do Italian films. All right.
Yeah, this one's in Spanish, Viejo Niño. It's super good.
Yeah, and you're like, why are... Wait a minute, this is the exact movie. It's just in Spanish. So I was beginning to think, like, okay, is this now just complicated to be complicated after a while?
Yes.
And then it starts, you know, connecting the dots. And, you know, I do like that... You know, the first main thing that we really kind of find out is that the dad was behind things.
Right.
In some ways. And you're like, oh, okay, well, the dad, you know, he's kind of like in our first film, he's one of the least suspected people.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, what would he have to gain from doing this? And then we find out, you know, then we have the scene that I was talking about earlier about when this young guy who... It's like, you know, the young rich kid who can do whatever he wants.
Yes.
And he's been molesting or raping these young girls.
And boys.
And boys, I think, was the presumption. And so the wife finds out about it and then is, like, basically trying to scare him into not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I think, like, she initially wanted to just talk to him and then thought if she had to scare him, she would. And then you can't change someone who's been a snotty pile of shit their whole life, but she didn't realize that.
Well, and that's what I think is interesting is, you know, you see, and this is what's hard, is you're skipping around in time. You're skipping around in a little bit of an unreliable narrator, you find out, in some, like, once the certain father, once he's telling the story. So you're kind of like, well, wait a minute, what's actually going on or what's not going on? But the first time we see the scene is, oh, well, she wanted to confront him. And then if he wasn't going to back down and kind of admit what he'd done and be a better person, then it was okay if she got her ass kicked because then they would use those photos to blackmail him later.
Okay.
And then the dad couldn't handle her getting her ass kicked, and so he shot the kid. That was my interpretation of it the first time he told it when he knew he was being wiretapped.
Oh, the first time, I mean, like, I didn't think, I mean, that makes sense, I guess, but like, as a person who would never want their ass kicked in any scenario, I thought that was a surprise to everybody, but now that you say that, it makes more sense that way.
Yeah, I think
because like, I wouldn't go into a scenario being like, hey, I might get my ass kicked, but it's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but yeah, that does make more sense.
And then, you know, for this section, I'll just keep going with this section here, is what actually happened, what the actual truth was that the father was hiding was that the dad wasn't there at all. He wasn't there watching and she gets her ass kicked and it's not like a planned thing. And she goes and grabs a shotgun and just kills the guy.
Right.
And then that's why they're, you know, that's why they, and then the father shows up and helps her, like, hide the truth kind of a deal. You know, and then we have the main storyline of the dad, of the same dad, kind of orchestrating this hit to where the hit was put on the wife and the husband, but he paid the hitman twice as much to not kill the husband.
And his like reasoning was behind it was like shithead can always be a higher paid shithead or something like
yeah,
that.
Right. Yeah, right.
Which I mean makes sense because like that guy gives a fuck what he does, but
that's right. Well, it makes sense. And for then that guy,
yeah, the orchestration was crazy, which like makes me wonder. You know, cross my fingers, never in that scenario. Like, who would be the person that I would call to come, like, help me pick up the pieces to that?
Because,
like, she's just sitting there in a ball, like, waiting for someone to come help her fucking fix what happened. I guess, like, her dad's a cop, so, like, she knew that he might have, you know, better
connections. Your dad's got all the political connections. So.
Right. Well, you know, he's, like, the future president, but, like, I can't just, like, go throwing that around because, like, election time comes, you know.
Right.
Helped his daughter clean up a couple dead bodies. Doesn't look so good.
Yeah. Typically, anyway. It doesn't look so good. So, yeah, we have that. And, you know, the main plot is she had to go away to make it seem like she was killed, and she, the only way that she kind of went for it is because she thought that Alexander, our main character, was dead.
Right.
And then the only way that he was kind of okay with not chasing her was because he was told that she was dead.
Or that, you know, like they found her body.
Yeah, that they found her body. And, oh yeah, how about that? The cop dad gets this heroin-filled, you know, burnout or whatever you want to call her.
Right.
And has to go make it look like this serial murderer did it. And so he's got to, like, box cut the shit out of her face.
Yes. I turned away. I didn't
even watch it. Oh, gross. And then has to put all the dead animals near her and stuff. Right. And
what a stroke of luck, though.
Yeah.
Heroin prostitute, right when you need her.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if there's one thing you can rely upon in this world.
Right? Even in France.
Yeah.
Heroin prostitute.
Yeah, so I like, I do, like, that's the stuff where I'm like, ah, okay, does it all fit together because I'm so overwhelmed and not knowing what's going on that I just kind of go with whatever? I'm like, oh, this is what happened. Yeah, cool, cool. Oh, okay, now you're telling me this. All right, sure. I'll go along with anything right now.
Well, just like,
so it makes sense.
I mean, it's like a, you know, it's the elaborate cover-up story, blah, blah, blah. And the cover-up part seemed to make sense to me, but the sending of the emails,
mm-hmm.
Like, I guess that was one of the, okay, so the wife had escaped or something, or they were trying to draw her out because she'd been hiding.
Right.
And so they were trying to target the still alive husband to see if he knew where she was or if he could be bait, basically.
Yes.
But I think my question, why? Oh, it's because those other bodies were found? Is that why?
Yeah, because they were excavating and they found those two bodies of the guys that that were hired and then were killed by the cop dad. Okay.
And so that's why. Now, because, like, I guess that was what, one of my other questions, like, why after 8 years is this, like, a deal? But
yeah. You know, and if people are like, damn, they're really struggling explaining this. Yeah, we are, because it's a lot of shit going on.
There really was.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those where if you sit and watch it, you can track 95% of it, I think.
Yeah, and definitely.
But when you're talking about it, you know, and just kind of not having, like, a plot in front of you. It's like, oh, yeah, and oh, yeah, this happened. Right. Okay, yeah.
Right. Well, and, like, Jersey Shore picks him up, and they're just driving around shooting guns like it's Omaha. It's like you can have a fight wherever you want, apparently. And people just, like, either stand there or run away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, no cops are called. Like, it's just a very...
I did think it was interesting, and I thought it was a really good point when the lawyer says, you know, that the innocent people don't run away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, what is he doing this for?
He was trying to meet her at 5.
Well, is that why he was running away from the cops?
Yeah. He was meeting with the little thing, and they looked at the clock, and it was like, I don't know, half an hour until 5.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's like, well, fuck this. I've seriously been waiting 8 years. I'm not going to go and spend how many days there. I'm gonna see if I can see her. That's why it ran.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Well done there, Cruz.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So did you think that it was a satisfactory ending for you?
I mean, it was okay. I mean, I liked that it ended the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the everybody, but like, I wrote, my last note was, I would almost be over it, ? Like, it was just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, like, she walks up behind him, and he's like, finally, but I'd be like, oh, can you just give me, like, 10 minutes? Like, just sit over there.
Yeah, I do like that at the end, you know, and they're both there, and again, this is what I like compared to the Hollywood stuff, is there's no real swelling music, necessarily.
Yeah.
And then she essentially is consoling him. To where he's kind of the, you know, he's the little spoon and she's the big spoon kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, to where she's wrapping her arms around him. And I'm like, wow. I was like, that's interesting because, you know, she's gone through some shit too.
Yeah, but it was her fault.
Well, yeah. But she's still the one who's like, oh, you know, it's going to be all right. As opposed to like your traditional Hollywood male who's trying to, you know, be strong for his woman kind of a thing.
But like, what could he possibly, I mean, like in that scenario, like him, I mean, like him telling her it's going to be all right, to me, I would almost be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Sure.
So, I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, there was some things to where it was, it very much just slightly pushed into the too complicated for its own good.
I agree with that.
It went from being complex to complicated a few times. And so I like the film. I think that, I think I gave it like a 4 out of 5 or so. Okay. It didn't exactly like wow me, but I liked it. And it's one where, you know, again, it would have to be someone that's open to foreign cinema because it's, you know, it's slightly different than what you're used to, I would say, than what the traditional American moviegoer audience would be used to.
Sure.
Just because it does require a certain amount of attention.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you could almost remove a couple of the complicated parts and it still mm-hmm. would have been better. I mean, not better, but better.
Sure.
Because, like, I understand what you're doing, and I, as a writer, try to do this all the time. Like, 72 plot twists, because why would you not want to do all that fun stuff in your book? Sometimes you just have to, like, back off and focus on a couple. So I feel like if they would have dropped, like, just a couple, like, unnecessary things could have, like, made the path a little bit, you know, easier to follow, which is, you know, kind of, I don't know. It's fine. It's
sure.
I would give it a 4 out of 5 too, probably.
I think that this was also a book, and it was optioned by Hollywood, and no one really took like a real stab at it. And then this French writer director who adapted it, he sold, you know, he made the pitch to the author and kind of sold him on the vision, and it was sort of similar to the author's vision for what a movie version could be.
Okay.
So it makes me think, like, I bet the book's good, because I think you could be more complicated in a book and have it work out, because you have a little bit more room to breathe.
Well, and you, yeah, yeah.
You could set up a lot more stuff.
And do a little more, yeah, setting up and explaining and stuff like that. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have anything else about either one of these before we wrap this one up?
No, I think this one was a lot better than Box Office.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this theme a little bit more.
Oh, look, some positive things. Let's write those down.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, I'm liking this. Weird. What the fuck? Oh, hey, this is a good part, too. It's like I don't have to, you know, it's like, oh, shit, that's really snarky. Do I write that down?
Right.
I'm going to be an asshole again.
Yeah, I don't know. Filters, but that's fine.
Yeah. That's what we enjoy about you, Cruz. If people want to see more of that, they can enjoy that next week.
Shit.
If you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter. Our handle is @plainlabelpod, where you could also follow me over there. I'm @EricWilliams79, and Rachel, when she figures out how to use the Twitter, is @LadyZleg.
Good at Twitter.
Got it pretty well figured out. If you really want to get a hold of her, though, she's excellent at the Facebook.
Yes,
Yes, and you could also like our show here. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to our website. It is plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com, and you're going to find an Amazon link over on the right-hand side. If you click on that link, it'll take you to Amazon's homepage. So we would like you to bookmark that homepage. Get rid of your old one and just use this new one. And what it does is it helps us out whenever you buy anything.
It gives you magic.
It gives you magic. You could buy magic if you wanted to.
No, you gotta lie.
You could buy like magic hats. You could buy Magic the Gathering stuff.
You could buy spider venom.
You could buy anything, really. Mm. And that would help us out. It helps pay for our Netflix, helps pay for our movie tickets. It helps pay for all kinds of stuff like that. And it's the exact same for you. So thank you for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more murder mysteries. And we'll be back next week with a hilarious discussion on Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I wouldn't recommend it. See the stone set in your
see the thorn twist in your side. I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate, on a bed of nails she makes me wait. And I wait without you, with or without you.